A growing number of Democratic candidates for office are pledging to refuse donations from corporate political action committees, or PACs. The trend has spread beyond the party's most progressive members, with moderate candidates and even some presidential hopefuls getting on board. But refusing donations from corporate PACs doesn't necessarily mean money from corporations won't go to those campaigns, and making a no-PAC pledge might be more symbolic than practical. Elaine Godfrey is an assistant editor and political reporter for The Atlantic. Elaine, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you see this growing trend among Democratic candidates, especially for Congress, refusing to accept money from these corporate political action committees. How common is this getting?
It's getting pretty common. I mean, so you have all of these new candidates, the ones that there's tons of buzz about, right? Like Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania, Ayanna Pressley, who just won last night in Massachusetts, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York, even Randy Bryce in Wisconsin running in Paul Ryan's district. You know, that's just a few of them. It's becoming more and more common. There's 185 Democratic candidates right now, I think, who've made the pledge. And I think that it's becoming common, and it's important to understand what they mean when they say that they'll be issuing corporate PAC donations.
Right. Let's talk about that. This is one very specific type of political action committee, these corporate PACs. Can you talk about what that is, what candidates say they're not taking?
Right. Okay. So there are basically three main categories of PACs, right? There's ideological PACs, there's labor PACs, and then there's corporate PACs. And corporate PACs are basically, it's money donated by employees of a company given to a candidate in the name of that company. So, you know, J.P. Morgan has a corporate PAC, and their employees donate to it if they want. And they can give up to $5,000 to an individual candidate per election cycle. But this is not the same as a super PAC, right, which is the PACs that everyone's heard about, which can raise unlimited money but can't donate to candidates directly. They can just sort of, you know, they could run an attack ad against Randy Bryce, for example, but they couldn't support him directly.
So that's one way I could, if I'm a candidate, I could say I'm not taking this corporate PAC money. Super PACs could still spend on my behalf in some ways. Also, as I understand it from your piece on this, I could still take money from individuals who work for that corporation.
Right, exactly. So this is one of the big criticisms here is that, you know, super PAC, you don't have a ton of control over what they can do because they're not giving to you directly. So you can't, these candidates aren't telling them, basically, don't give to me. They're still accepting that help in indirect ways. And then, you know, they might not take corporate PAC money. But, for example, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won't take corporate PAC money from J.P. Morgan, right? But an employee recently gave her the maximum individual donation, $2,700. So you can get individual donations from those companies. You could get, you know, a donation from the CEO, for example, of any company.
So we're still not talking about $0 here. How much might a candidate be giving up on if they say, okay, no, I'm not going to take money from these corporate PACs?
Right. So it's really not a significant amount. For non-incumbent candidates running, so candidates like Randy Bryce, candidates like Ayanna Pressley, they're only maybe 400 this year out of 3,000 candidates running who've taken corporate PAC money. So, you know, just over 10%. And then for incumbents, so you have a few 2020 contenders like Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, who've made this pledge also, who've sort of jumped on this no PAC money trend, no corporate PAC money trend, I should say. It's not a huge part of their campaign contributions either. So Gillibrand, over her entire career, only about 9% of her contributions have been from corporate PACs. For Kamala Harris, it's less than 2%.
So talk about the symbolic value then of candidates, almost exclusively, not completely exclusively, Democrats saying, yeah, we're not going to take this one kind of corporate money.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard because, you know, other Democrats and conservatives, of course, are saying, well, it's easy to cut off this source of funding if you're not really getting a lot anyway. But the progressives I spoke with said, yeah, you know, that's right. It's pretty symbolic, but it's a first step to reforming the campaign finance system that, you know, voters seem to be hungry for addressing that, right? Like, this has become a growing concern for voters. corruption, money in politics. And I think this, it helps progressives move closer to that goal of reforming the campaign finance system that we have. It doesn't really, you know, it is mostly symbolic, but it does help them move closer, and it helps progressives differentiate themselves to voters. So it's sort of a little bit of both.
Talking to Elaine Godfrey with The Atlantic about a growing number of Democratic candidates saying they're not going to take a particular type of corporate contribution from corporate political action committees. Elaine, let's follow up on that last point, the idea that campaign finance reform is an issue that's going to resonate with voters. It's been an issue that's been out there a long time, and my sense has always been you've got some people who are really concerned about it, and it's, you know, way down the list for the bulk of voters. From the people you talk to in the political world, are they sensing that, no, this is a different time?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, we saw it in 2016, right? I mean, well, first we saw it with Obama, who ran accepting no PAC money and no money from lobbyists. And then we saw it from Donald Trump, who said, you know, I don't want to be beholden to any corporate interests. I'll self-fund, which he's sort of not a promise that he fully kept. But he, you know, he appealed to voters that way. Bernie Sanders, he was all about those small donations. I think this is something we can expect to see a lot more often. So, I mean, from everyone that I spoke with in 2020, you can bet they told me that all Democratic candidates for president will not be taking corporate PAC money, and maybe they'll go even further. Who knows? Maybe they won't take any PAC money, or maybe they'll tell super PACs, you know, don't spend a lot to help me out. We don't know, but we do know that this talking point is definitely going to stick around.
There's the talking point of not accepting this kind of donation. Are these Democratic candidates also talking about new campaign finance reforms as part of their agenda, their platform?
Yeah, so some of them are. You know, not so much the ones that I've mentioned here, but a couple. So we have California Representative Ro Khanna has actually made this a pretty big deal in Congress. He ran in California and won, pledging not to take any corporate PAC or any money, any PAC money at all, not just corporate PAC money. And he's proposing a system called Democracy Dollars, which would essentially give every American money to donate to a campaign, ridding the country of the need for, you know, super PACs and that kind of thing. And that's really a long shot, but I do think that the more this gets talked about and, you know, the more candidates who make this pledge succeed, I mean, it's going to become more clear that legislation it could be popular, right? This could be something that is passed soon. But no, I don't think that there is a ton of talk right now about specifics.
Did you hear concern from any Democratic strategists that, okay, this is lovely, this is symbolic, but if you're in a tight race for a House seat or a U.S. Senate seat for that matter, every dollar is going to count. Don't go in with one hand tied behind your back?
Absolutely, yeah. And they tend to call this kind of thing unilaterally disarming, right? So they say, you know, Republicans are taking all the money they can get. They're not discriminating. They're in these tight races. You know, they're coming at it with all they have, and Democrats should do the same. And, you know, I talked to several Democrats who are worried about that. So, yeah, that's a big concern, right? Like, can you issue this money when you're going to need all the help you can get? Like, Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania's 18th district, when he ran in the special election this spring, that was a big concern, right? But he didn't accept corporate PAC money, and he still won. So I think progressives would hold him up as an example of, you know, if you make this promise and you're likable, you don't need that money. It doesn't matter. People will respect you for it and vote for you for that promise.
You mentioned earlier the 2020 presidential election campaign. Do you think for a significant number of Democratic core primary voters, they're going to look at their presidential candidates and use this as a litmus test, maybe not the only litmus test, for who they're going to vote for?
You know, I do. I think that this is going to be, I think if anything, you know, a candidate who still accepts corporate PAC money, even if it's more symbolic than it is anything else, it's going to signal to voters. I mean, it's going to signal something negative to voters. I don't think it will be, you know, a huge issue for them, especially because I think most voters don't really understand what that means. I think it's sort of hard to know without doing some research into that what corporate PAC money actually is. But yeah, I think it will be a litmus test going into 2020 for sure.
We'll leave it there for now. Elaine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Elaine Godfrey is an assistant editor and political reporter for The Atlantic. She was with us to look at the trend of Democratic politicians, including candidates for Congress, refusing money from corporate political action committees. You can let us know your thoughts on this. Is it important to you that candidates not take this particular kind of political action money? Do you think bigger campaign finance changes are needed at the federal level, or do you think we're simply just in a new age of political spending? Email ideas at WPR.org, or as always, you can tweet us at Central Time WPR.